I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Thursday, March 4th. There were 23 new cases of coronavirus confirmed in Quincy yesterday, with the active case total at 192. Quincy's positivity rate remains at 2.75%, and the city is in the yellow category on the risk assessment map. There have been 146 deaths. Beginning today, elderly and disabled residents in Quincy Housing Authority apartments can get a COVID-19 vaccine. Director James Marathis says vaccinations will be done building by building, floor by floor, and unit by unit, beginning today at the Drowen apartments, then moving to Tobin, Sawyer, Pagnano, and wrapping up at O'Brien Towers on March 12th. Eligible residents will have to fill out a consent form and show ID to receive a vaccination. Stop and Shop is providing the Moderna vaccines, and EMTs and healthcare professionals will monitor the process to ensure safety. Translators will also be available. Hingham Housing Authority tenants will also be eligible for vaccinations today. Marathis says Quincy was one of the first housing authorities in the state to receive vaccines. He says vaccinations are not required, however, they are encouraged. He says he hopes to be able to offer vaccinations to residents in their family housing developments when they become eligible. Quincy Mayor Thomas Koch is proposing a change to the way the city pays its pension obligations to former city workers. Under the plan, the city would borrow the entire $400 million pension obligation now and then pay it back on a set schedule and a fixed interest rate. Right now, the city appropriates money from the budget to fund pension obligations every year, which is about $30 million this year. Koch says the borrowing will save the city $20 million this year and tens of millions in years to come by paying a low interest rate rather than being at the whim of swings in the stock market, which determines the pension obligation. Koch also wants to add two new members to the city's retirement board to focus solely on investment matters. One would be the city's chief financial officer. The mayor's proposal requires approval from the city council, the state legislature, and ultimately the governor. Four people are facing charges after an alleged drug deal in Quincy on Tuesday. Police say two men from Lawrence sold heroin, cocaine, and fentanyl to two people from Weymouth after they met up at the 7-Eleven on Washington Street in Quincy Point. 26-year-old Garrison Tejada Avalo and 30-year-old Rashuri Silverio Fortunato allegedly sold the drugs to 34-year-old Megan Berchtold and 35-year-old Michael Ball. Police say the buyers got into a rental car with the sellers, then rode around the block, then got out after the drug transaction. Officers apprehended the buyers and seized the drugs, while other police officers stopped the suspects in their rental car and made their arrests. Ball reportedly first mistakenly tried to get into a detective's car before climbing into the rental car. All four now face drug trafficking charges in Quincy District Court. Quincy City Council has agreed to spend $2.1 million from the Sewer Rehabilitation Fund to repair a damaged section of the culvert that carries the town brook under Bigelow and Washington Streets in Quincy Point. DPW officials say that culvert is in danger of collapsing. That fund is paid into by developers who do work in Quincy. Well, Massachusetts teachers can now circle next Thursday, March 11th, on their calendars, marking the day they'll first become eligible to schedule vaccine appointments. The other groups designated as essential workers, including retailers, grocery store employees, transportation workers, and funeral directors, will still have to wait. After President Biden on Tuesday said he wanted every educator, school staffer, and childcare worker to receive at least one shot by the end of the month, Governor Baker moved them up the state's priority list, saying he wanted to avoid the confusion that could arise from different federal and state eligibility. The move will make about 400,000 people newly eligible. Baker says it will mean that we'll be back to having about 1 million people who are eligible to receive a vaccine. While intense demand for the vaccine continues to hover well above the state's supply of doses from the federal government, unions representing grocery store workers and transit workers are among several groups angry. The group of workers that they represent won't receive preferential access to the coronavirus vaccine. Prioritizing high-risk populations means prioritizing essential workers, according to the president of the Stop and Shop Union. Transit workers also say they're growing frustrated as they wait for their turn to get the COVID-19 vaccine. The MBTA has prepared a COVID-19 vaccination clinic for T workers at the former Lowe's building in Quincy, but transit workers aren't eligible yet. Yesterday, the Carmen's Union released a statement criticizing Governor Baker. It said frontline transit workers are exposed to hundreds, if not thousands, of people per day. So to overlook the need to vaccinate and for the governor to let red tape stand in the way is, quote, inexcusable. When new appointments for Massachusetts' 7 mass vaccination sites are posted today, the majority will be reserved for patients who need a second dose. Only about 12,000 slots will be available for first dose appointments. Last week, about 50,000 first dose appointments were posted, and all were nearly filled within 90 minutes of their release. The Massachusetts COVID-19 Response Command Center announced in a statement yesterday that fewer appointments are available this week because of the need to set 45,000 doses aside for second dose appointments. Additionally, 7,500 appointments were booked by the state's 211 call center that supports older residents who are unable to use a computer to book their appointments. Well, a U.S. Coast Guard crew based in Massachusetts helping to rescue 31 fishermen from a vessel that was sinking off the Canadian coast. A rescue center in Nova Scotia was notified at about 7:05 Tuesday night that the 143-foot vessel, the Atlantic Destiny, was disabled with a fire on board and that the ship was taking on water more than 130 miles south of Halifax. Three crews from the Coast Guard Air Station Cape Cod, one plane and two helicopters were launched and arrived on scene. A Royal Canadian Air Force helicopter crew rescued 6 fishermen from the vessel and dropped off 2 search and rescue technicians to help get water off the ship. The helicopter crews from Air Station Cape Cod hoisted another 21 fishermen to safety. Each of the 27 fishermen who were air rescued were taken to Yarmouth, Nova Scotia, where they were transferred for medical assessment. The remaining 4 crew members and the 2 Royal Air Force technicians stopped their dewatering effort and were transferred to a Canadian Coast Guard ship at about 7 o'clock yesterday morning. All of the fishermen are said to be in good shape. Officials say the Atlantic Destiny sank to the bottom of the ocean at 9:36 Wednesday morning. Closer to home, repairs on the Granite Avenue drawbridge in Milton will begin this Sunday and will create some lane restrictions. Structural steel repairs, cleaning, and painting of the Neponset River Bridge will take place both during the day and nighttime hours. The work is scheduled to be completed on April 30th. From 8 a.m. through 4 p.m. every day through April 17th. Traffic will be reduced to a single lane in both the north and southbound directions on Granite Avenue. Then from 7 p.m. to 5 a.m., there'll be alternating closures of the north and southbound travel lanes on Granite Avenue. Traffic will be reduced to a single lane in each direction. Nighttime work between March 21st and 31st will generate some noise. The contractor will be implementing noise mitigation measures during the overnight hours to reduce the noises created by painting equipment. A monument honoring a famed Civil War unit of black soldiers is back in downtown Boston after a $3 million restoration. The bronze relief at the center of the Robert Gould Shaw and Massachusetts 54th Regiment Memorial was hoisted back into place yesterday morning on the Boston Common across from the State House with the help of a crane. The relief has been undergoing restoration for months at a studio in Woburn. Crews have also been on site working to restore the monument's marble and stone foundation. Officials say the project is on track to be substantially complete sometime next month. Long considered one of the nation's greatest sculptures, the Shaw Memorial captures the stirring call to arms answered by black soldiers who served in the unit, which was popularized in the 1989 Oscar-winning movie Glory. American sculptor Augustus St. Gaudens spent 14 years creating the monument, unveiling it to fanfare in 1897. But the work is also among those that has faced scrutiny amid last year's national reckoning on racism, sparked by the killing of George Floyd by Minneapolis police. The sculpture depicts Shaw, the unit's white commanding officer, riding on horseback while his black soldiers walk in the background, a dynamic that some suggest is problematic. Other news today, House Democrats passing sweeping voting and ethics legislation over unanimous Republican opposition, advancing to the Senate what would be the largest overhaul of the U.S. election law in at least a generation, House Resolution 1. Which touches on virtually every aspect of the electoral process, was approved Wednesday night on a near party line 220 to 210 vote. It would restrict partisan gerrymandering of congressional districts, strike down hurdles to voting, and bring transparency to a murky campaign finance system that allows wealthy donors to anonymously bankroll political causes. President Biden and Democrats agreed to tighten eligibility limits for stimulus checks, bowing to party moderates as leaders prepared to move their $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief bill through the Senate. At the same time, the White House and top Democrats stood by progressives and agreed that the Senate package would retain the $400 weekly emergency unemployment benefits included in the House-passed pandemic legislation. Moderates have wanted to trim those payments to $300 after Republicans have called the bill so heedlessly generous that it would prompt some people not to return to work. Regulators in the UK and four other countries have announced new rules to fast-track the development of modified COVID-19 vaccines to ensure drug makers can move swiftly to target emerging variants of the disease. Previously authorized vaccines that are modified to combat new variants will not need a brand new approval or lengthy clinical studies, according to Britain's Medicine and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency. Many questions remain unanswered about the failure to prevent the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, but after six congressional hearings, it's clear the Capitol Police were unprepared and overwhelmed as hundreds of Donald Trump supporters laid siege to the building. But it's also clear that no one wants to take responsibility for it. Officials who were in charge of protecting the Capitol and the people inside it have pointed fingers at each other in testimony to the House and Senate. Their deflections are indicative of the chaos of that day, the lack of intelligence leading up to the attack, and the fact that none of the law enforcement agencies involved imagined that so many of Trump's supporters would violently lay siege to the Capitol with the mission of overturning his defeat. Capitol Police say they have uncovered intelligence of a possible plot by a militia group to breach the U.S. Capitol today. nearly 2 months after the mob of supporters stormed the iconic building to try to stop Congress from certifying now President Joe Biden's victory. The threat appears to be connected to a far-right conspiracy theory mainly promoted by supporters of QAnon that Trump will rise again to power on March 4th. That was the original presidential inauguration day until 1933, when it was moved to January 20th. Prince Philip has had a successful heart procedure at a London hospital, according to Buckingham Palace. The palace says the 99-year-old Duke of Edinburgh, the husband of Queen Elizabeth II, underwent a successful procedure for a pre-existing heart condition at St. Bartholomew's Hospital. The 99-year-old Philip has been hospitalized since being admitted to King Edward's Hospital in London on February the 16th, where he was treated for an infection. Monday, he was transferred to a specialized cardiac care hospital, St. Bartholomew's. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo yesterday rejecting calls for his resignation in the face of sexual harassment allegations that have threatened to hold on power and damaged his national political standing. The Democrat speaking somberly in his first public appearance since three women accused him of inappropriate touching and offensive remarks, apologized and said that he learned an important lesson about his behavior around women. The 13 people killed in one of the deadliest highway crashes involving migrants sneaking into the U.S. had entered California through a section of border fence with Mexico that was cut away, apparently by smugglers, according to immigration officials. Surveillance video showed a Ford Expedition and Chevy Suburban driving through the opening early Tuesday. The video has not been publicly released. The Suburban carried 19 people. It caught fire for unknown reasons on a nearby interstate after entering the U.S. All escaped that vehicle and were taken into custody by Border Patrol. America's infrastructure scoring near failing grades for its deteriorating roads, public transit, and stormwater systems due to years of inaction from the federal government, according to the American Society of Civil Engineers. Its overall grade, C-. In its infrastructure report card released yesterday, the group called for big and bold relief, estimating it would cost $5.9 trillion over the next decade to bring roads, bridges, and airports to a safe and sustainable level. It's about $2.6 trillion more than what the government and private sector already spend. A Federal Reserve survey of business conditions across the U.S. has found that economic activity was expanding at a modest pace in February. The Fed survey released yesterday shows that the central bank's business contacts were expressing optimism last month about a stronger rebound as more COVID-19 vaccines are distributed. Reports on consumer spending and auto sales were mixed, while overall manufacturing showed moderate gains despite supply-side constraints. Check of business news. Stocks pulled back yesterday. The Dow was down 121. The NASDAQ fell 361. The S&P lost 50. World shares also fell today. The dollar was higher. The euro slipped, and oil is trading at $61 a barrel. In sports, Capitals beat the Bruins in a shootout last night, 2-1. Celtics take on Toronto tonight at 7 o'clock. The National Weather Service forecast for today, sunny, breezy, and a high around 40 degrees. For tonight, clear, cold, low of 20, partly sunny, windy tomorrow, high only in the low 30s. Saturday, lots of sunshine, cold, high 32 degrees. About the same thing on Sunday, mostly sunny and 33. The boater today waves a couple of feet, a busy northwest wind gusting to 30 knots, and a high tide at 3:20 this afternoon. Sun rose at 6:13, will set at 5:37. So again, sunny, windy, and brisk today, the high around 40 degrees. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Thursday, March 4th.